Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
All right, so are you ready for this week's version of Can You Top This? Eric was just mentioning, by the way, welcome into the playbook, for game week 5 for the Patriots, week 6 in the National Football League, now that we've gotten the bye week out of the way. Someone said to me last week, by the way, before I get to that, someone said, man, the bye week is early. And I said, not when you really consider when they start, because when you start at the end of July, this actually comes right about the midway point in the season.
Well, and also this year they have a mini bye at Thanksgiving because they play on Thursday.
Right.
So they'll have that weekend, of Thanksgiving
short
off.
Short work week leading into it, but
right.
Yeah.
So they
right.
they technically have 2 bye weeks this year.
Nothing wrong with that.
Breaks the season up into thirds very conveniently.
Yeah, absolutely. So at any rate, yes, it is week 5 for the Patriots, game 5, week 6 coming in. And talk about, you know, can you top this? As Eric and I were talking about here just a little while ago, every week of the season thus far, the Patriots have made, I would say, considerable news.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a considerable news item
yep.
just about every week of the regular season thus far. Last week, obviously, Randy Moss was it.
Mm-hmm.
Today, obviously, Deion Branch officially becomes a New England Patriot. Were you out of practice a short
yep.
while ago?
Yep.
Was he here?
He was here.
Okay.
Wearing number 84.
84. Right.
Yep. He was... full pads workout today. Mm-hmm. John, we'll quickly get through this. You want to just quickly go through a little practice report? One player missing, that was Fred Taylor, who did make a cameo in the locker room today. So I think...
That's encouraging.
And based on...
encouraging.
Based on Bill's tone mm-hmm. in his conference call yesterday, it sounds like Taylor might be ready to go sooner rather than later. I don't know if that means this week or not, but... encouraged by what I heard and saw.
Well, anytime we can get back a little bit closer to full strength, I think it's only going to help when you consider the opponent this week.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. And the history with the
sure.
the recent history.
Right.
Terrence Wheatley's back. Okay. Mike Wright, who missed last week's practices, back mm-hmm. in full pads. Cashier went to IR to make room for Branch. That was the move to create room.
Are you surprised at that? Since I know they were holding him off of IR with the hopes that he might be able to come back.
Yeah, the only surprise to me is that it took this long for him to get to IR.
Yeah, I'm a little puzzled by that too. But
I think that was the move that was going to be made.
I think they finally just decided they needed the roster spot, and that maybe Cashier's deal
and who
was
they kidding.
Was,
right.
Yeah, his situation wasn't cleared up
right.
substantially, so it's kind of like, let's just do this now because we need the roster spot.
Right.
I mean, they had just re-signed Quinn Ojinaka to take Moss's spot last week, and they didn't want to cut him again. They clearly
right.
wanted to keep him. Plus, he provides depth at that position anyway, of which, you know, Cashier was just taking a roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they have one more spot available on the practice squad now because Brett Ratliff, who was signed last week to add a little depth to the quarterback position, was scooped up by Cleveland.
Right.
On their active roster
to back up my boy in his opener in his debut.
Colt McCoy,
week.
Come on now, come on now,
come on now.
Yeah, because Seneca Wallace went down with a high ankle sprain. Delhomme came in, went down with a high and low ankle sprain. Apparently, so they're really hurting. So Ratliff goes back to Cleveland, where he was the third stringer last year.
So my boy Colt gets his first NFL start.
He does. Good for him.
Yeah, how about that?
Good for him. Hopefully, he does better than Clausen.
Yeah, well,
I'm hoping
that, you know, he is able to at least play well enough and represent himself well enough to where he doesn't have to give the job back.
Bradford's been looking decent, too. But
been okay, but
the
I mean,
game against the Lions.
Oh, wow.
We've sidetracked a little bit. But yeah. Branch back at practice today with the Patriots for the first time in, 5 years now? Yeah, because 06.
Would have been 06 regular
was
season.
When 06, September 11th, I believe, was when he got traded. So the last time he was at a practice for New England was in the 05 season.
Been a little over... Was that right? It would have been before the regular season in 06?
Yeah, because remember he held out?
Yeah. Okay, so it would have been, 6 years since he was actively in a Patriot uniform.
5 years. 05
five
season.
Years. 5 years, yeah, that's right. Okay, my math is wrong. There we go.
Yep. So he was out there today. All we saw was stretching. He walked to the field with Brady, got to stretching, talked with Chad O'Shea, the receivers coach, for a few minutes. Then Belichick came over, talked to him at the very end of stretching, a little one-on-one time. Then they broke up into positional warm-up drills to start practice. Then we saw one other quick drill where the receivers line up against air and run a route, and the quarterbacks throw them a pass. Branch caught one pass, ran a little 5 yards, and then cut to a post pattern. And looked like they were going about three-quarter speed to get still warmed up for practice. But that was it. Full pads, they're out there again. Deion Branch is with them, 84. He's got the locker next to Brady that Moss used to occupy.
Okay.
So it's like old times.
Let me ask you this. You know, obviously, I put this up on Facebook today, and I guess this is really sort of the question of the day. But, you know, in effect, what we've done here now is we've traded Randy Moss along with a fourth round. We've gotten rid of, let's just say we've departed ways with Randy Moss, a fourth rounder, and a seventh rounder, let's keep in mind, for Deion Branch. Now, when you consider Branch has been injured for most of his Seattle time, the fact that he's, what, 31 years old now, so he's clearly not in the prime that he was when he left New England in 2006. Doesn't that seem like an awful lot to be giving up, even if he's a former Super Bowl MVP? And again, I'm just looking at this strictly in a black and white situation.
Well, sure. If you just look at it on its face, it might have been a little steep, but if you look at it a little bit further and realize that they didn't have much depth and they needed somebody quickly who could come in and contribute right away, there was very little option for them but to get a guy who's already been in the system, who has a head start on picking up the offense again. I think they had no choice, and maybe they had to overpay a little bit to get him, but you know what? I'd rather have a known, more of a known commodity than, you know, a draft pick, future consideration, third rounder who may or may not end up with the club down the road. So
I certainly can see it from that aspect. I did have some pretty good response to it, though, earlier today on Facebook.
Positive or negative?
Mostly negative. John says, makes no sense. Branch is also making lots of money this year. A 31-year-old fragile wide receiver who had an ACL surgery in 2008. Two scopes since then. Moss, 6'4". Branch, what, 5'9"?
Yeah.
Few fourth-round picks by the Patriots of recent vintage. Hernandez, Green, Jarvis Green, Asante Samuel, Steven Gostkowski. He feels, obviously, that, hey, holding on to that fourth-round pick might have actually been better in the long run.
Well, they had two of them, let's not forget, because they got one in the Maroney trade, and they had their own. So I think
still have one.
We don't know for sure which one it was, but I'm thinking it might have been the Maroney pick that they got from Denver. That might have been the one that they sent to Seattle.
Okay,
I don't know
so
for sure.
So they still have their own is
but
what
they still
you're
have. They either way, they still have a pick in the fourth round next year.
Okay. Donald says.
And that means they still have seven picks in the first four rounds.
Right.
So. So it's not like they're lacking in picks.
No, that's true. They still got picks. Donald says, I think Branch is good, but it's going to take one hit to the legs, and it's a wrap for him. But Brady wants him bad. We'll see. Kevin says, I'm done with Smurf wide receivers. However, you can use him as another weapon down low to ease the coverage on Welker. But I don't like the move. I was never a Branch fan.
And never? Never? That's, come on.
It's just what he says. I'm just reading what the man wrote.
No, I know.
And then Jim says, not sure of this move. Bill Belichick always speaks to value, and I definitely think we did not get fair value here. The Pats must have no faith in Price to go make this move. As for pass rush, only Peppers was available, and he makes more than Brady, enough said.
Price is a rookie. Yeah, I mean, it's not totally fair to put such expectations on a player like that. Yes, we've got guys like Hernandez and Gronkowski who are contributing right away, but it's not normal for a receiver to come in and make an impact, a significant impact, in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. Terry Glenn was an exception when he had when he broke the rookie record for receptions back in, what was that, 96? Right, the year they went to the Super Bowl?
96.
Yeah, the 96 season. That was a rarity for a rookie receiver to come in. Most time, it takes usually a year or two for a receiver to come in and make an impact. Not like a running back. You can throw in a rookie running back and he'll make an impact right away. A rookie linebacker a lot of times can come in and make an impact. Rookie quarterbacks and rookie receivers tend to be the opposite. They tend to take a little bit longer to develop. So to say, oh, you know, Price must not be ready, it's a little bit unfair, you know, especially when you have the, like I said, you have guys like Gronkowski and Hernandez,
right,
who are contributing as rookies, a little bit of a different scenario for them, and a rarity too, I would say. But, you know, you're getting a guy like Branch who, when he's healthy, with a quarterback like Tom Brady, is going to be productive. He's proven that. In Seattle,
we hope he still can be.
We hope he still can be. In Seattle, he had his own injury problems. His quarterback had injury problems, so there was some inconsistency there as far as who was throwing him the ball. He's hopefully not going to have that problem here, and he's already had some experience in this offense, significant experience, and proven that he's been able to produce in it before. It's the best move they could have made under the circumstances, I think, John.
It looks as if in a short while, once practice is completed out on the fields here in Foxborough, Deion Branch is apparently going to hold a press conference.
Oh, is that just come down?
At least that's what I'm understanding here. So when that does happen,
While
we are still here, we will go to it live. So we will play it for you here on Patriots.com radio so you can hear from Deion Branch coming up inside the program.
Well, does it give a rough time?
Doesn't yet. No. I just got that alert from Mr. Collins. So.
Well, they went out on the field about 1 o'clock.
So I would
guess 2 hours.
It would probably be in the 3 o'clock hour at some point, right?
Yeah.
In the meantime, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Our email address, of course, webradio@patriots.com. And you can hit us up on Facebook via chat or message board as well there. Eldridge is in North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, sir. How y'all doing?
Good, man. What's up today?
Driving. I'm a truck driver. I'm also a Vivian Patriots fan.
Very good.
I just heard y'all saying we got Branch back.
That's correct.
And I agree with the other caller. That's not fair value.
All right, fair enough.
That's not fair value.
Tell me why.
When we had him, I think Givens was Brady's main target when we had Branch. You know, Givens were. And so was David Patton. And Branch was like, I don't know if it was highlighted that much back then or not, but Givens was mainly who Brady looked for back then. But to get rid of Randy Moss and to get into Deion Branch, I understand in Seattle he was hurt a little bit. So with when he was a little healthy, he didn't produce, and they got rid of him. Then they had Hooch Menzada, then they got rid of Hooch. You know, so to me, I think Belichick should have got. Maybe should have looked for another secondary help because I didn't get to see the game last night between the Jets and the Vikings. I don't know what they looked like, what the score was. I still say we need help on defense.
Yeah, it was 29-21.
29-20.
So the Jets didn't win.
Yeah.
Well, the deal is, you know, they clearly had a spot at wide receiver open. Deion Branch was basically all they were going to get. Brady and Deion Branch go way back. Brady's always liked Deion. He did throw to him. If David Givens was one, as you say, then certainly Deion would have been considered receiver 1A back during that run. He did win an MVP during the playoffs, John. Right.
So he looked for Branch in big time games.
There's nobody else that even comes close that they could have brought in that could get up to speed with what the Patriots do and can provide the same things that Deion can. Are you getting Randy Moss in return? No. We all know that. The Patriots know that. What you're getting is someone who's still familiar, not only with the quarterback, which is, you know, that's important factor number one here, all right? But you're getting someone who's familiar, getting someone familiar with the offense, familiar with the terminology, familiar with the coaches, and knows how to accept his role, which is something we believe Randy Moss was having an increasing amount of difficulty in accepting, hence the move that was made last week.
Now, I don't dispute your claim, Eldridge, that the defense needs help. I totally agree with that. But they also needed help once they dealt Randy Moss. They needed help at the wide receiver position because they weakened a strength.
Right.
The strength of the team was their offense, particularly their passing offense. That was weakened.
Yep.
They needed something to fill
that. A lot.
Well, they do need a lot, but they did what they could. And I think John's right. They did the best they could by getting Branch.
And what John said earlier about receivers and quarterbacks, rookie receiver quarterbacks takes a little time to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Santonio Brown for the Steelers making a big impact once they got rid of Holmes. And there's Flacco, there's Bradford.
Yeah, making there are exceptions, but for the most part, you don't throw a rookie in at those positions and they produce significant numbers right away.
That's very rare.
It's very, very rare.
Price got hurt anyway, wasn't it? When Price hurt, that's why he wasn't playing that much.
Price was hurt.
Price hurt
a little
hurt
bit during
year.
A little bit during training camp, but he's been.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's been. Yeah, but that was 2 months ago. He's been fine lately.
He's been fine lately.
Yeah,
I ain't seen him on the field that much though.
Right.
He hasn't been active.
When I mean fine, I mean he's been healthy. He's been in pads at practice. Whether or not he's been, able to play to the level that they want him is a different story.
Okay. All right. But I just wish they get some secondary up calls.
I wish so. I hope so too.
Yeah. In 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
I know.
It's going to be some stuff.
It's Halloween. And it's going to be even scarier, my friend.
Oh yeah, very much.
All right. Be careful
right,
driving out there.
All right, man. Bye.
Thanks, Eldridge. Appreciate it. He must have us on his iPhone app or something, huh?
I hope
so.
It
says he's driving his truck.
Yeah. Can't, right? There's certain, and plus there are certain states where you're not allowed to talk in the, I don't know what the rules are. So every time I see a police officer, I put the phone down.
Maybe he's got a handle, hands-free device.
Maybe. Maybe.
I hope so.
One of those Bluetooth things?
Yeah. Although, I swear to God, I see people walking in the airport.
They're the silliest looking things, aren't
they? Honestly, they look like they're standing there. Yeah, they look like, the nutcase standing down on the corner looking for his next, score of crack, because he's standing there talking to himself. And then I realize, he's got a Bluetooth.
They're foolish looking things, too.
Very foolish. Very foolish. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't have a Bluetooth myself. I suppose at some point in time we'll all be forced to get them, just because there will be,
the only ones that'll be made.
Well,
those type of devices.
Those type of devices, because my guess will be eventually, handheld cell phones in cars will be illegal at some point.
Probably.
You won't be allowed to have a phone to your ear. I'm going to go on a little bit of a
which
rant.
Isn't a
here.
Bad,
no,
which
it's
isn't
not
a bad,
bad
law
thing
to pass.
Because I'm going to go on a rant here, because in the last 2 days, Eric, I've had two people almost at a crawl going less than the minimum speed in the left lane on the highway in Providence.
God.
And I'm like, honking the horn, please get out of the left lane. Sure enough, women, not guys, women holding the cell phone to their ear in the left lane. Now, if you're going to do that, get over in the far right lane. Okay? You got to know something about how to drive.
You did say it was in Rhode Island.
It was in Rhode Island.
Now, a lot of us don't know how to drive back there.
It's true. It's true. But I'm just like, this is awful. I said, I will be the first to sign up for let's pass a hands-free bill in Rhode Island, because this is just dumb.
I see all the signs on Route 1 here coming up to Foxborough.
No texting.
No texting. If you're a teenager,
That's even dumber, though.
Why is it just teenagers? Why isn't it everybody?
Well, I think it's to point to teenagers, because those are the kids who are most likely, I think, to do that. I mean, first of all, I have a hard enough time concentrating on the road in front of me, much less concentrating on trying to text a stupid mechanism. One of the most ridiculous things. If you could do that, that first of all is dangerous as hell, but if you could do that, man, then how come your productivity at work sucks?
Too busy texting all day.
Too busy texting all day. I mean, come on. All these multitasking. I can multitask. Well, great.
I can't
Why don't you multitask at work?
I abhor the whole practice.
I have grudgingly gotten into texting only because it is my teenage son's preferred modem of communication. And rather than not communicate with him at all, I text.
Well,
and he's really the only one I text to. I will text him occasion to an occasional, engineer or producer, for a radio show, or Kevin and I might if something comes up. But anybody else? Not really. Maybe a drinking buddy every now and then. But, that's like once a week. But daily, I'm exchanging texts with my 15-year-old, because that's just how he.
But you're in separate locations or whatever, so it's not like he's in the house and he's texting.
Correct.
You.
Oh no! That's just if I get a text from him in the house, I'm
take
coming
the phone
right,
away.
I'm
take
coming,
the phone away.
Exactly. I'm going to get the phone and I'm going to put it where he can't find it. And I'm like, when you can learn to speak like a human being, then you can have your phone back.
By the way, I know we're going on our weekly digression and tangents here, but
I like that. I look forward to that.
Of course. We have to do it at least once a week. At what age is the cutoff point to be too young to have a phone?
That's a great question, because we were debating this. My sister and I were debating it. She has a 10-year-old at home, and he has his phone.
Too young.
Well, I thought so,
that's
too.
That's definitely too
In
young.
In fact, my own 15-year-old said, wow, he has a phone. He said, how old was I when I got mine? And I think my son was 13. I think he was a teenager. I think we waited. So he's had a phone for a couple of years.
Yeah, I would say probably high school age is probably about when you can at least start to consider
it. We got him one when he turned 13. I think it was for his 13th birthday. And I think the reason that we got it for him was because of my travel being transient, and because, you know, we needed to communicate. We figured, all right, you know, well, let's teach him some responsibility, because we want him to communicate with us whatever he's doing. So I think we got him one for his 13th birthday. And even then, I thought it was young, I have to admit. Oh, but my 10-year-old nephew has one, and it's only because his mother didn't want him to feel left out because everybody else in the house has one.
I'm not buying that.
It's true.
I believe you, but I'm just saying I don't buy that as a rationale for giving a kid a phone.
I don't really
at
either.
That age.
I say, you know, wait till you're 13. When you're 13,
exactly.
You have one.
Does she feel bad that he doesn't have a car because everyone else in the house has one? He's 10, you know. Why not give him a car?
No, but he has a motorcycle.
He has a motorcycle?
Well, a dirt bike.
Like a dirt bike?
Yeah. He's 10. He's the baby. He's the baby. So the baby gets
everything?
Everything. Everything. Oh, my God, this kid gets everything.
Is he a spoiled brat?
No, I don't think he's spoiled. He's actually a great kid. He just, you know, he's younger than everybody else, you know, by a minimum of 5 years. Mm. So, you know, I guess, you know, there's a little bit of a gap there. And so I think they feel like, you know, hey, he gets left out of a lot of things.
Wow. Well, I just think, yeah, kids, I see kids who are like grade school age around my neighborhood riding their bikes and they're on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a phone when you're that age.
No.
I know I sound like an old man, but you don't need a phone when you're a kid.
I don't think so either. But
you barely need one as a high school person, high school kid.
I know.
It's absurd.
Let's see. Sam in Chicago says, guys, thanks for the show. Do you think October 31st game is now the biggest game on the Pats schedule, bigger than the Monday night Jets game?
No, the biggest game on the schedule is this Sunday because that's the next game.
Yeah. Well, talk about towing company line.
That's not company line. It's the truth, though.
You have to look at the next game.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, it's not the biggest game is the next one. And the next one is the next one's a pretty big one, let's remember. This is the team that embarrassed them on their own field to knock them out of the playoffs.
Which is why I don't really disagree with that. I don't really disagree with that at all. I do happen to think that this is the next big game, although it is shaping up, you know, on that Monday night in December to be, you know, a Donnybrook. Frankly, I gotta ask
the Jets game.
Monday night game.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you this. After watching, as I did, the majority of the game last night before I snoozed.
I can't believe that.
It was 11:30, 11:35, and
I was out.
I go out. I'm out.
I was out cold.
Kind of funny because I'm gonna digress again here. When I was in Miami Friday night, I went to South Beach.
Oh, sure, you did FSU Miami.
I did the FSU Miami game, which also turned out to be a snoozer.
Did you go to the Clevelander?
I did go to the Clevelander.
Was it worth it?
Oh, it was very worth it. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The DJ that was up there, and they had Brazilian dancers, you know, like a stage show, and they had this chick get up on like 6 foot stilts and dance, and I'm like, this is incredible. And then they had this a guy and a girl come out who were not only fire twirlers but fire eaters.
Ooh.
And they had dancers in little like corner spots all throughout the open bar area they have there, the Clevelander. If you know anything about South Beach and know the Clevelander, you know it's a huge open patio area, which is
one
why
big
I love
dance
it.
Floor, basically.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And so they've really changed things. They've redone the hotel. They've redone it within the last 3 or 4 years since the last time I was there, and it looks spectacular.
Oh, really?
Great sports bar there too at the Clevelander now.
Oh, really?
Oh my God!
I went in 2004.
Unbelievable.
So it's been it's different than when I saw it.
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. What was I going to say now? I forgot.
Jesus, you're really getting old.
Absolutely, just brain dead today. This is just embarrassing as hell. Oh my God! Somebody,
we're talking about watching the Monday night game, staying up, and then you digressed into
because the DJ who was there was, and the girls and the women at the place were just unbelievable. And he's like, "Hey, we're open till 5 a.m." And I turned and looked at the guy who was sitting next to me who'd come up to order a beer at the bar, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I didn't even have to say a word. He looked at me, and says, "5 a.m." I'm looking at my eyelids. And I said, I don't even remember the last time I stayed up that late. I said, usually about now, and I'm looking at my watch, and it was about 11:15 or so.
Yeah.
I said, about now, I'm ready to go. I'm about ready to go out. Although I did, you'll be proud of me, I made it until about 1:30 that morning. So that's pretty good for me. So I digressed. Clevelander was outstanding.
Was it really?
Oh, jeez.
Lived
just
up to the hype?
Oh, man. It's just like, you know.
So it's different. Is it better than it was before?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, they've redone the hotel. The hotel looks spectacular. I am definitely staying there next time I go down there. And the outdoor bar scene and everything is just as spectacular as it always was. A little disappointed in the waitresses or, you know, in the bartenders.
Oh, really?
They weren't quite as, you know.
What about the clientele?
Well, the clientele was great. The dancers were great. Maybe that's why the bartenders weren't quite as, you know, as they used to be. But
radio, John, we can't see your hand gestures.
Well, you know, I just... Why don't you describe for me? Why don't you do a little play-by-play, Eric?
You were, you know,
this is
like
we need the webcam to come in here.
It's like what do they call it when the women have the bras that lift and separate?
Yeah,
that's kind of what you were doing.
That's kind of what I was doing here.
That sort of hand gesture.
Thank you very much for that. Nice description, by the way.
Well, I'm watching a bra infomercial on the other TV over here.
See, now you got the Victoria's Secret thing going on over here.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So, confirmation 3 o'clock on the branch press. So I'll probably head out a few minutes early to get down there.
Okay. And we're going to carry it here. So, you want to stay tuned for that and we'll let you listen to Dion Branch, coming up a little after 3 o'clock Eastern time here and we'll get the very latest for you. So I went to Miami. What was I saying before that now? You got to help me here. I'm clearly in need of help today.
I think I might have gotten lost with you there at that point. But you went to the Florida State Miami game.
It's when you digress and then you re-digress.
You digress. I don't know.
Oh my God, I've lost.
How was the game?
It was awful.
Yeah, because FSU put a stomp on them.
They spanked them. The trip into the stadium, was the trip into the stadium for you guys horrible? Traffic?
We have a police escort.
Oh, jeez, that's right, because you're on the team bus. Yeah. It's never awful. It reminded me of old Foxborough.
Oh.
It was deadly. I started...
New Foxborough. Yeah. It's pretty much the same here.
No, hey, this is a piece of cake compared to what it was, you know, even three or four years ago.
Yeah, I get here 4 hours before kickoff, so...
Well, I usually arrive no later than 3 hours before I go on the air. That's the deadline. I got to be there 3 hours. And so I back-timed it and everything.
Yep.
It was normally about a 20 to 25-minute trip from where I was staying. It took me an hour and a half.
Oh, God.
The traffic was so bad getting in. And I said, and there's just one lane that comes in from southbound I-95. It was just one lane. And I'm like, oh, my God, shades of Route 1, you know, in the old days with, you know, Schaefer Stadium. So I'm like, this is just all horrible. You couldn't get there from here. The guy that I did the radio game with, John Bunting, you know, former Eagles linebacker and former North Carolina coach, he got stuck in traffic to the point where he called me twice, didn't think he was going to be able to get there before the game started.
Oh,
he did finally arrive 20 minutes before we went on the air. It was that bad. Wow. And he started 3 hours before game time to try to get there by 2 hours before game time. It was just brutal in Florida. Absolutely brutal.
Man.
They did have 75,000 there.
Well, they have that for a football. For a Dolphins game.
Yeah. So you don't ever notice when you've taken the escort how bad the traffic is?
Well, we notice that there's traffic, but it's usually all at a standstill anyway because they have to stop for the police.
Wow, man, unbelievable.
So yeah, we never have any issues with getting there or getting out usually.
But Miami was good, Eric.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it was very good.
We stayed in Fort Lauderdale for the Monday night game.
You missed out.
Maybe, but we had a good time there too, though. We had a good time in Fort Lauderdale.
I went down and walking up and down Ocean Ave looking for Snooki and JWoww and didn't find them. I told my son I was going to go do that.
Did you really try to get a picture with them and text him?
Yeah, but he said, but Dad, they stopped taping that show months ago. And I'm like, oh, so you finally get it, do you, huh?
Uh-huh.
You know, stuck on that. He goes, even I know that, Dad. And I'm like, okay, fine. I said, well, I'm still going to go looking for
Big uncool loser.
JWoww. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Don't drunk text your son at 1 in the morning.
Actually, I sent him a photo of the chick on stilts.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you appreciate that?
Yes, he did. He's like, wow.
See, John, it's hard to concentrate with this stuff.
Oh, come on. Look at what he's looking at. Oh, my Lord. Oh, see, that's a full-figured lady.
Yeah.
That's a full... No, see, I don't need that. That's not any good. All right, we've so completely lost this. I think now it's time for a break, and I think it's time for us to regroup.
All right.
And we'll come back with a game plan.
All right.
And let you know that... The Dion Branch is coming up in approximately 30 minutes right here in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network. All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes. You know,
here's Brent.
Gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
All right, we'll attempt to pick this program up out of the gutter today. But before we do, welcome back inside the Playbook. John Rook, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. I was just going to say.
You remember, what
it was I was going to say.
Going to digress to?
Because I saw on Friday night, not Friday night, Saturday night during the game, the Miami-FSU game.
Yes.
I saw the FSU Cowgirls, and it tied back in. It tied back in with Jen Sterger. You know, the whole thing that's going on, because she was a former FSU Cowgirl. And I know that even Brent Musburger alleged to have said something about Sterger on the air like 6 or 7 years ago during an ABC television broadcast about how every red-blooded male in America is now going to qualify or going to try to apply to FSU.
Right.
Right. Well, I saw them.
You saw the FSU Cowgirls?
Yes.
In person?
Yes.
How far away?
I'd say within 10 feet.
So about between where we are on the console here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Worth the price of admission?
It doesn't matter. Any time, any place, anywhere.
Are you more understanding of Brett Favre's situation now? Is that what you're saying?
I'm a little understanding of his situation. However, I don't think I would gone about it the same
way. Not the same way, right? No. Right. Yeah, you're more of a gentleman.
No, John. I'd like to think I'm a lot more of a gentleman.
By the way, this thing is called the Ah Bra. This thing that we're watching, the infomercial.
Thank you very much for that. I would, you know.
Speaking of Jen Sturger, right?
Now I can die peacefully because I know about the Abra. That's great. Thanks, Eric. No, I was just going to say it was very impressive, but not only were the FSU Cowgirls impressive, but, you know, some of the Miami girls were also.
Oh, yeah? They don't have an organized schtick, do they?
They had an organized schtick when they were in the Big East years ago called, I think they were not the Sun Dolls. What were they? Sun Gals, something like that. But they were very impressive. It was a dance team, actually, is what it was. And it was so good that whenever they used to come, Miami used to come to the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden, basketball tournament every year, and they would get out on the floor and do their halftime routine. Guys would wave dollar bills when they would get out on the floor. Wow. And then when Miami would get eliminated, you know, conversely from the tournament, we used to have people passing around hats to buy.
To keep them there.
Basically pay for their hotel room so they could stay and entertain another day. That's how good it was. And I saw both sides of the fence on Saturday night, which was pretty good.
Who do you give the nod to, though? The Sun Girls, for lack of a better term, or the FSU Cowgirls?
I would say it was pretty...
You're from Texas, so I'm going to say the FSU Cowgirls, right?
Well, I'm going to say it's pretty
The boots,
even.
The hat, and everything?
That was very impressive. I was really impressed with the boots and the hat and the white short shorts, and that was very impressive.
Tied up? Did they do the tied up shirt thing?
Yeah. Or they wore like a half cut off, you know, midriff bear.
Yep.
It was impressive.
A good look.
It was a very good look. Okay. All right. Now I guess we need to go back to football before we piss everybody off here, which we might have already done anyway.
Just the female listeners.
And again, I apologize. I don't usually do that, but it just stuck in my head because of where I was this past weekend. See, now, conversely, this week I'm going to Morgantown, West Virginia. Not that that's any terrible place. Actually, I like Morgantown as a college town.
Takes forever to get there, though.
Yes, it does.
You can't get there from here.
It's very difficult to get there. So, anyway, that's where I'll be on Thursday, actually, because I got a game Thursday night.
It's very cold on the infomercial now, John.
I'm not looking. I'm not watching. Okay. Here, this one comes from our friend Alejandro, who's going to send us a Tuesday nitpick. Hello, Alejandro. He says he's chiming in from Worcester. Didn't write last week. Thought you were going to be flooded with emails after the Randy Moss trade. What I found amazing is how airtight.
We kind of were.
Actually, we're bombarded with phone calls, which is great. Love them. By the way, 508-543-7482 if you want to join the conversation.
Ace Ticket Hotline.
Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com. The email address, Facebook, is rolling. He says, what I found amazing is how airtight this organization is. This was a huge story. No one saw it coming. Not Adam Schefter, not Chris Mortensen, not even Jay Glazer, who broke the news only about 15 minutes before it happened.
Well, yes and no. It was... There had been rumors for all offseason that there might be a trade involving Moss. We heard a couple of them. I think San Diego was one. Dallas might have been one. Rumors were all they were in the offseason that a trade would happen during the offseason. He's right. When this one happened with Minnesota during the season, there was not much talk about that in the build-up to that day. But it's not like it completely came out of the blue this year. I'll half agree with him on that point.
Hang on a second, Alejandro, I lost it there. Oh, here it comes. As for the Miami game, have you ever flipped through the TV stations, found a rerun of one of your favorite shows, only to find yourself laughing at the same old jokes?
Sure.
Well, it felt like that last Monday night, a return or a rerun of the vintage 2001 Patriots. I understand where he's going with the analogy.
As far as the unsung Patriots coming up and making big plays
and when you least expect it, all facets of the football team actually contributing to a win.
All right, I'll buy that.
Nitpicks, he says, plenty. How about the defense? Sure, turnovers are great, but defenses can earn their money on third down, and we allowed Miami a 75% conversion rate. Ouch. My question to you is the following. Four teams are tied for the best record in football at 4-1. Jets, Ravens, Chicago, Atlanta. Three of those are on the upcoming schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I like that. That's good work by you, Alejandro. Mm-hmm. Do the Patriots have what it takes to beat them? Can you rank the teams 1 to 4?
So we got,
this is where I was going before I digressed the first time.
Okay.
About 20 minutes ago.
I will go with Jets 1.
I would agree with that.
Baltimore 1A.
Okay.
Or 2.
2.
You know, very close, a close 2.
Close 2.
Chicago was the, and who was
Atlanta.
The other one?
Atlanta.
Atlanta definitely, because they're a more talented team than Chicago's. I don't know how they're 4-1 right now, but Atlanta's definitely.
Two words, Julius Peppers.
That's, all right, yeah, you're right. He is the main reason why they're in contention.
I don't think there's any doubt. He's changed that whole dynamic defensively.
Yeah, you're right.
But not that we couldn't do with a guy like that around here, I suppose.
I know. That'd be another tangent
we
could go on.
Yeah.
So I'll put Atlanta overall talent-wise better team than Chicago and Chicago fourth.
I will rank them Jets, Ravens, Chicago, Atlanta, based on what I've seen from Peppers early on. I agree that Atlanta may be the better team top to bottom, but right now.
More balanced, too,
right,
I think.
Yes, but right now I'm going to give the Bears a slight nod.
All right.
Which means that.
But we agree on the top two, and those two are on the schedule.
Absolutely. And obviously Chicago is later on in the schedule. In fact, I'm of the opinion now, Eric, and I had a friend of mine ask me this yesterday, who I thought was playing the best football in the NFL.
Which team is the best
team in the National Football League right now after 5 weeks? I said, much as I hate to admit it, it's the Jets.
Yeah, I think so.
What you saw last night, right now there's not a better team playing than the New York Jets in the NFL. There's just not.
Yeah, I think Baltimore's a close second. Only because I don't think they've clicked fully on offense yet.
No. Especially, you know, receiver-wise, I would.
And I think they will eventually.
They could. It could happen this week, too.
It could happen this week.
I mean,
too.
You know, the Patriots defense could be the panacea they need for, you know, Joe Flacco to get on track.
But, I think you're right. The Jets have played the most consistent football.
So, if Baltimore comes in here and whacks the Patriots again, similarly to what happened in the playoffs, I'd have to say that Baltimore has to be considered right there in that conversation.
That's why I rank them a close two to the Jets.
But right now, I think the Jets are playing the best football in the NFL. In fact, the best two teams in the NFL probably are the Jets and the
Baltimore.
Ravens right now. Let's see. My preseason pick of Super Bowl was San Diego and Green Bay.
Yeah,
San
Diego's very disappointing me.
Well, they are. Although I still think they're going to end up winning that division.
Houston's disappointing me.
Houston is. Green Bay is going through an unbelievable amount of injury problems right now,
and you can't really fault them for that.
No,
for their
but good teams do find a way to overcome.
Like the 0-1 Patriots, like the 0-3 Patriots, who had was 0-3, right? They had the rash of. Secondary injuries,
yes.
Where Don Davis had to move back and play safety.
Correct.
And so
that's all true. I think that's entirely possible. Oh, shoot. Oh, there
What'd
we
you
go.
Do?
Okay, no. It's here. So at any rate, all right, so the Jets and Ravens probably at the top of the list.
Yep.
As far as the NFC, it'd be pretty difficult not to say right now that Chicago and Atlanta were up there. The Dallas Cowboys are also a team that I can't
figure they're
out
disappointing
either.
Me, too.
Very disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, you can clearly see that they've got talent, but defensively, they're just.
Is Wade going to make it through the season?
I don't know how he can if this team continues to flounder. They're 1-3.
Are they going
to
promote Garrett?
I don't know how they can, but, I mean, frankly, he's the only person left there on the staff, unless they put Dave Campo back in there as a stopgap measure until, you know.
Give Garrett the experience. If that's the case,
but is Garrett going to be your coach for the future?
Well, Campo's not, so I'd rather give
a guy that's done it before, and he could be there to the end of the season, and then they go do this full search.
I'd rather give the benefit of the doubt to to Garrett.
Well, only if you think that Jason Garrett is your coach.
I think
for the
he
future.
Could be.
See, I'm not sold on that.
I think he could be.
I'm not sold on that, which is why I think they will give some consideration. If Phillips is out, they will give consideration to put Campo in there
on an
interim basis.
They might.
Because he's handled it before. And then Jerry Jones is going to clean house, and he's going to look for another coach.
Maybe.
That's what I think is more likely to happen, just in my estimation.
I know this is going to sound like sacrilege, but would Mac Brown ever leave Texas?
Why would he want to? He's got everything he needs. He doesn't need the aggravation of the NFL.
I know. It's... Wouldn't be the first time that a coach has been in a prime college job and left for the NFL.
I would agree with that, but at the same time, he has more money than he can shake a stick at. That's a good Texas phrase for you. and, you know, he's getting ready to retire in the next year or two anyway. the thought process was, is he really wanted to see this year's class, the last, you know, the last group of freshmen he brought in, potentially win a championship. You probably even add this next year, the class of 2011 is supposed to be better, the way that they have recruits lined up already. So my guess would be his window is probably about a four-year window right now. Probably can't afford to be much more than that simply because otherwise Will Muschamp could be gone. He's the coach in waiting. There's defensive coordinator. Muschamp might be gone anyway this year because Georgia could very well be looking for a head
Mark
coach.
Yeah, Mark Richt is having some problems down there.
And I'll tell you, if Jerry Jones really wanted to look for a coach that did not have, you know, a track record, he could probably look at he does have a bit of a track record. Unfortunately, it's not all good. But
who's this?
It seems like these two guys would fit together. Bobby Petrino at Arkansas. First of all, Arkansas is his alma mater.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones' alma mater. Second of all,
Petrino didn't impress me when he went to the Falcons and decided to do an about-face
but
before
he's
the
been,
end of the season.
But he's in the college game, he's doing it at Arkansas just like he did at Louisville.
Well, Rick Pitino impressed me in the college game and never at the pro level either.
There are some guys who are pro or college coaches and not the other. You are absolutely right about that. I'm just saying that that will probably get a sniff, maybe more than a sniff, but it could happen. I would also say that he'll probably make an effort to lure a guy like Nick Saban. He might even take a look at Les Miles, although there are a lot of people that think Les Miles' ability to manage a clock is trying to master a foreign language.
I was Saban, I would stay put.
Of course.
He has one of those cush college jobs.
Of course, but it's easy for you and I to say because we've seen both ends of the world here, and it's like, the college game is, from that standpoint, it's easier to take. Unless, you make $3 million or so in the college game and you want to make $6 or $7 million as coach of an NFL team, which you can do. You want to double your salary? I guess it's, matter of how much is too much.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, I got to get upstairs, get my recorder.
All right.
Go down to Deion Branch.
Make sure you ask questions real loud, okay, so we can hear you on the air.
I'll try to sit in the front row so I don't have to shout so bad.
Please do.
All right.
Shout out to you tomorrow. Shout out to strippers and everybody else inside the playbook here for you, Coach. All right. Eric Scalavino. He'll be part of the Deion Branch press conference coming up here very, very shortly upstairs at Judd Stadium. In the meantime, we'll stick with your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Also on Facebook. Let's see, what else do we have here? Did I get a couple of more here? I'm just looking. Pardon me for looking here. Nope. Stripper sent me a note. Nike plans to dramatically change NFL jerseys. Okay, well, Nike plans to change everything. In fact, Nike at some point in time will probably claim to rule the world. That would be just my guess, but probably claim to rule the world. All right, so we got Alejandro's in here. Let's go with Kevin. Says, my name is Kevin from Charlotte, North Carolina. Just read about Deion Branch's new number. Does anyone else find it funny that he has 84? Do you think there was anything behind this, or is it just reaching? I can't imagine there's anything behind it. Branch, when he was here before, was 83, but 83 is taken. I believe Welker has it. So I guess his is just kind of like, all right, just give me whatever's close, and I'm sure that's about it. I realize that you think that there might be something to that because Randy Moss has gone back to wearing his old former 84 with the Minnesota Vikings. But I can't imagine there's a whole heck of a lot into it more than that other than, hey, the number he had when he was here before is already taken. So, all right, just, give me what you got, and we'll go from there. And 84 happened to be available. All right, Thomas from Nova Scotia. Says, man, you guys are crazy if you think Colt McCoy will do anything but get eaten alive by the Steelers' defense. I'd be surprised if he makes it out of the game uninjured. Not to mention, with Ben back, they're going to put on a show. Speaking of recently traded receivers, watching Holmes last night, I saw exactly what frustrated me as a Steelers fan. He'll give you the slants and some good screenplays, but he drops anything above 20 yards if he's not wide open. Most of the big plays he got with Pitt were a result of coverage breaking down because of Ben. He had that one amazing downfield catch against Tennessee 2 years ago and the Super Bowl winner, but not much else. All right, Thomas, thanks. Look, I don't know that he will or won't do a lot against Pittsburgh. Obviously, I'm a Colt McCoy fan because I went to University of Texas and he had, I'd say four pretty solid years there. You don't leave the college game with more wins than any other quarterback in the history of Division I football without knowing a little bit of what you're doing. So, he was a third round draft pick this year, two quarterbacks ahead of him. This was going to be a year where he basically come in and learn. I mean, the thought process was that he still might not be polished enough to come in where he could be a Sam Bradford type right away and start right away. That's why he sank from being potentially a late first rounder or maybe a second rounder into the third round this past year. Okay, whatever. They thought that maybe Colt was a little bit more of a system guy than actual his offensive talent based on what he was running. Well, he basically ran a zone read spread offense at Texas. You know, and he did some of the same things that, you know, Vince Young even did in terms of running with the football. Is he a pure pocket passer? No, he didn't come out of college as a pure pocket passer. But he did come out of college with a guy that, you know, is accurate. He has an accurate arm. He's not scatter-armed like a lot of quarterbacks that you see. Hello, Brett Favre. Guy's thrown 500, you know, touchdowns, but he's also had 400 interceptions. I don't think that Colt McCoy is that kind of quarterback. I don't think he has that gunslinger mentality. Yeah, it's going to be very difficult against a Pittsburgh team that certainly is going to welcome back Ben Roethlisberger in his first game back. Do I think the Browns will win? No, probably not. But it's a rivalry game. You know, there are a few quote-unquote rivalries in the NFL. I mean, certainly you'd have to look at, you know, Dallas and Washington as a longstanding rivalry. The Patriots' rivalry with the Colts or the Patriots' rivalry with the Jets certainly in recent vintage has been good. Pittsburgh-Cleveland is a rivalry that goes way back as well just because of their close proximity to each other. I mean, you know, sharing a border basically almost. I mean, you got to pass through the panhandle of West Virginia to get from one to the other basically. So that is a rivalry that goes way back to the older days in the National Football League. And so there's a little bit more on the table amongst fans from both sides. I don't think you're going to need more than that. There's a lot of intrigue with both sides and obviously having, you know, different starters at quarterback this week. But, you know, clearly Pittsburgh's the superior team and fully expect Pittsburgh to win the game. But I'd be interested to see how Colt McCoy manages to survive and if he can potentially do enough to warrant keeping the job if and when, you know, the two ahead of him. And I guess probably DeLome more so. But, you know, when he returns from, you know, his injury health-wise, whether or not he does enough to be able to keep the job. So that'll be interesting to see whether or not that's still a possibility. Let's get one more in here. Again, webradio at patriots.com. Our question basically has to do with today, Deion Branch arriving in New England and becoming now full-fledged a member of the Patriots. He passed his physical very shortly. In a few minutes, we will be going up to the interview area here at Gillette Stadium where we'll carry some of Deion's press conference for you here on patriots.com radio. Keith says, from Dallas, this should be the setup on Sunday. Wes Welker and Deion Branch in the slot, Tate and Price on the outside. This will give the opportunity for Taylor Price to grow in his position because the Pats will have help from the tight ends to make up for Taylor Price being on the field. I still think we need to trade Logan Mankins to Dallas for Marion Barber to help with the run game and drop Grandpa Taylor. This way we can be a true run-first team to match the Jets. I don't think we necessarily need to be a run-first team, Keith. I think the Patriots have determined that you can certainly use the pass to set up the run. As long as you have the threat to run, as long as you can usually use the run to benefit you, especially not only in short yardage situations, but also in potential red zone situations, you know, I don't think you have to be a run-first team. Not in this day and age of, you know, spread, you know, West Coast, wide-open, five-receiver, empty backfield sets, which, as you know, the Patriots do run from time to time. Do you have to be a running team in order to win? No. Do you have to have the threat of the run to be an effective winning team? Yes, you do. Threat of the run, I agree. But whether or not you run for 50 yards or you run for 250 yards in a ball game, I don't think that means as much. As long as teams respect your run, you can be considered a running team. I don't know that, you know, First of all, I wouldn't mind getting Marion Barber. I don't know that Dallas is going to shop him. I know they love Felix Jones, but I don't know that a guy like Marion Barber is going to be on the table there. I don't know that they would start Taylor Price anyway because they are, you know, so infatuated, and rightly so, with their tight ends, that here's a perfect opportunity, as far as I'm concerned, to see Aaron Hernandez split out a little bit more. I know he's a tight end, but we've always said, and we've said from day one this year, that he's really more of a hybrid guy anyway. He's a quintessential H-back. That he's a guy that can line out wide. He could be in the slot, or he can line up close, and he can play tight end. He can do anything. He's so versatile. Here's a chance to see him line up and challenge the corners rather than maybe necessarily having a safety on you. But that's the opportunity the Patriots have. Here's a chance to see a guy like Hernandez get out there and get some real time. See if he can't stretch a D or two. You know, put Gronkowski in there, put Crumpler in there, and put Hernandez in there. Play with all of them at once. I think there's space. I think in some sets you might actually see that. Now, I like the Grandpa Taylor reference, but, you know, as long as Fred is healthy, you know, he's got this nagging toe problem that, you know, hurt him last year and it's starting to hurt him this year, then, you know, the Patriots have enough. They could probably use a little more depth. I will certainly give you that, but I think they at least have enough to be an effective, if uninspiring anyway, running game. All right, let's pause here for a timeout. And then we're going to come back, and we will manage to mark time here unless Deion Branch is ready to roll. Then we'll roll with him. Hour number two, Inside Patriots Playbook, coming up.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
I feel like this is the Jim Rome Show. or Gillette Stadium, one or the other. All right, when the failures first come out on the field. Welcome back. Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook for a Tuesday. It's not our normal nitpick Tuesday, but it's close. Let's get off downstairs now to the rest of the other part of Gillette Stadium, where Deion Branch is set to meet with members of the media.
First of all, man, I like to thank God, for one, for blessing me with the opportunity to come back and be a part of a great organization, and also be a part of another great organization in Seattle. Unfortunate things that work out. But that's part of the business, and I'm very thankful to be back, you know. And just wanted to get that out the way, and whatever y'all want to ask me.
Does it almost feel like you've never left?
Yeah, sort of, except for all the new stuff I hear Mr. Kraft has put out in the parking lot. That stuff wasn't here when I was here. I mean, all the hotels, what is this, a mall now? Strip mall, you got a cinema. It's a lot of stuff. I think it's a lot of great things that's going on around here. That's pretty new. So, but it feels pretty good though.
How you feel about being reunited with Tom?
It feels good. You know, still going through a lot of things. Today was pretty rough for me. A lot of traveling. You know, I've been on 2-3 flights, less than 72 hours. So. Coach is helping me feel through, you know, Tom throwing a lot of stuff at me as usual. And I'm just taking in everything as much as I can.
Is the offense much different?
Yeah, it's a little different. It's a little different, but, you know, some of the concepts and stuff are still the same. I still remember some plays. The crazy part, they didn't call those plays today, so. the ones I remember, I thought I could just really get in there, but they didn't call those plays. You know, Coach had to pretty much fill me in before I ran in practice.
Expect on Sunday, though, that you'd be able to, you know, take part?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope I'm showing Coach Belichick enough, you know, today. And I know it's going to be a little bit more tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. And, you know, he makes that decision.
How different are you as a player now than when you were
still? A lot more knowledge. I understand the game of football. I truly understand the game and how to study people, how to study guys, my opponent. I think my first 4 years here, I was just playing off all athleticism. And I was getting away with it for a little bit. It was a couple games here and there back in the past. But I think now I understand how to sit down and break down the film and watch my opponent.
Julian Edelman said he studied you this offseason for the few years that you were here.
Yeah. I'm going to try my best. I think my job is just coming. I'm just a piece of the puzzle. I'm not the answer to nothing. I'm just a piece of the puzzle. I think these guys, you know, have already been stitched in stone with the things that they're doing. You know, Coach Belichick has been running the ship the same way, straightforward. You know, you get in, do your job, and that's that, and that's what I'm going
to
do.
Nah,
I don't think he was looking at that. You know, I just think the opportunity presented itself, and they took another shot at it.
What was your reaction, Deion, when you went into the locker room, got to your locker, and
it
was right next to
Tom Brady? It wasn't. I don't think it was me looking for the locker, see where my locker was. I just think me looking at some of the old faces and some of the new faces. You know, seeing how a lot has changed in the locker room from the time that I left to now. Still seeing guys like Kevin Falk, you know, put a smile on my face, Matt Light, Dan Copen, you know, and always Tom. And, you know, seeing veteran guys like Pick Warren, Fred Taylor, these guys, that just, you know, these guys want to win. And I'm just very thankful to be here. Exactly. A lot of schooling, going over a lot of plays. You know, and he was just pretty much throwing it at me. You know, and I say about 10 minutes on the field, he came back with the same plays. Just to see, you know, make sure he's tuning me up right now. So, I think we're moving pretty fast. Hopefully we can just show it on the field in practice.
Do you feel like you're replacing
Randy? That's the first thing I want to let you all know. I'm not here to replace Randy. You know, I'm not Randy Moss. I wasn't Randy Moss when I was here. And I'm not here to replace him. My job is to go out, do what the offense asks of me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. Not really. I didn't. Not at the time. But like I said, I think the opportunity presented itself, and then they took a shot at it, and it worked.
People have brought your name up with trades here before. Did it ever realistically cross your mind that you would ever come back?
I thought last year more than this year, actually. Probably the year before that, too. No, but I actually thought probably last year a little bit more. Being that there was a lot of things going on back in Seattle last year, not this season, but last year, you know, with Mr. Ruskell getting ready to step down, a lot of stuff started happening. So I thought that the guys were probably going to start making changes, and I actually thought I was going to be one of the guys, but I wasn't, and stayed there, and then everything was cool. I don't know. It's hard to say in this business, you know, what happens. I'm pretty sure they asked Moss the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's so much stuff happens during the course of the time you're playing this game. You just have to take it with a grain of salt and keep moving, you know, and understand, hey, you got to be straightforward and approach the game that way and know that, you know, things can happen. And there will be changes on every team every year, period. So I'm not an exception, you know. No, we just pretty much kept in contact, you know, phone call, texts. Only time we got the opportunity to see each other was pretty much during the Super Bowl times, the times that you all wasn't in it. when the Patriots wasn't playing, then I get the opportunity to see him. You know, other than that, and, you know, him not shooting all these commercials and stuff, I had the opportunity to see him. But other than that, it was just phone calls and texts.
When Randy was traded, he said he felt like he was back home.
Right. Right. I do have that feeling. And it'll really set in probably, you know, game day. You know, just to be back here, especially with this guy and with this team, you know, under the same coach that brought me in. Pretty much this staff is pretty much still the same, except for a couple guys here and there. I do feel like I'm back at home. Yes, sir.
To make this trade happen, did you have to adjust, or are you willing to adjust your contract?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple things that's probably going to be talked about. That'll be the dealings with my agent and organization. But I'm willing to make some things work. Nah, you know, I think Wes came in, did a great job. He deserved it. I'm just gonna get a number higher, one number higher than his, since I'm taller than him. So that'll work. None. Nobody was here. And like I said, that's part of the business. They find a way to get the job done. I think when you have a quarterback in such a time, you can do a lot of things. You know, they just got to make sure you put the right guys in the right place. And you just follow this guy lead, man. He won't lead you in the wrong direction.
Why didn't you work out the way you hoped in Seattle? Was it mostly injury related?
Well, a lot of things happen. You know, I don't think it had anything to do with injuries. It can be... Who knows? It's going to be personnel decisions. Like I said, just part of the business. That's the way things spin. I think both sides agreed to it on a decision, and it was made. You know, I'm very thankful, like I said, to be a part of the organization in the past, and they're going to do great things. You know, I think Mr. Snyder and Coach Carroll, they're shaping that team up to be going in the right direction. No regrets. I mean, I wish it never happened, but no regrets. You know, like when I left, it wasn't no issues between me and Coach Belichick, none at all. You know, we talked during the course of the year, not a lot, but I spoke to him, you know, and I truly thanked him. But it was nothing. We didn't leave on a bad note. And I think that's why it was so easy to return, you know, because we both understood what was going on.
Did you
Exactly. Just like I have to be able to, you know, separate football when I go home with my family. You know, you have to find a way to make that happen. And we did that. I think the big thing, it wasn't a personal issue. You know, I wasn't mad at Coach. He wasn't mad at me. We just couldn't come to an agreement, and that stuff happens. Man, I just sold it, and I just told my wife, like, man, as soon as I sell the condo, now I'm back. last year, actually, Derek Burgess was living in it for a minute, and then I sold it. Yeah. Why are you laughing? Do it. But, yeah, Derek was staying in it for a minute, and then he left. I sold it, and then a couple months later, I'm back. So now we fishing. My wife is. I'm not doing nothing. Hey, thank you all.
All right, so there you go. Deion Branch meeting with members of the Patriots media just down the way here at Gillette Stadium.
Sounds happy to be back.
Sounds like he's happy to be back, although I do think it's rather poignant that early on in the conversation, to sort of recap here, he says, I'm not Randy Moss. I'm not here to replace Randy Moss. No one can replace Randy Moss, kind of how we alluded to it, and that's probably a good thing to say right off the bat because I think the natural reach for most fans will be, oh, Branch is back, Moss is gone, so Branch is going to replace Moss. It doesn't really, really work that way. It really, he's a different player, obviously in size and stature and what he does on a football field other than what Randy does. He does some things still very well.
And he's very versatile, John.
He's very versatile.
He can play the slot, he can play the outside.
He can do a lot of different things, which we learned when he was Super Bowl MVP in 2005 for this franchise.
Yeah, it just in general adds depth to the receiving.
Exactly.
I think this is a good move overall.
Well, I think it's a logical move.
Yeah.
I'm going to withhold good move.
Okay.
As I had stated earlier on Facebook today, simply because I think the Patriots gave up a lot to get him, number one. Number two, he's 5 years older than what he was when he was here before. Number three, he's gone through, some pretty good injury problems during his time with Seattle, where he never really became the number one receiver they thought they were going to get. Keep in mind, the Patriots got a number one pick for Deion Branch, and the Patriots get him back for a four. So I'm sure he leaves Seattle, and I'm sure there are fans, you know, waving goodbye, don't let the door hit you on the way out, at Deion Branch leaving the Pacific Northwest.
It's a fair assessment.
So because of that, I think we, you know, as fans, where it's great to have a familiar face and name back and a person who has Super Bowl championships to his credit,
yep,
with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, it's always good to get someone like that back in. In fact, Julian Edelman was in the locker room earlier and said, hey, have another veteran that has Super Bowls?
Yeah.
I'm anxious to learn from him. It's great to have that presence in the locker room. That part is good, but as analysts, as we all play, I think we have to look at this from a football perspective and continue to sort of, let's just keep the door open here. Let's see how, first of all, this week against Baltimore shakes out.
Yep.
And then let's just see how it progresses. Because to me, right now, at age 31, Deion Branch has to stay healthy.
Yep.
If he can't stay healthy, then they were better off holding on to the number four pick.
Yeah. To me, and the thing it does to me, it's not so much his productivity. It's more, it takes pressure, it relieves pressure off Brandon Tate, Edelman,
well,
Rice,
suits up. See, that's a good point. And we also had an emailer allude to that earlier as well, Kevin, that, you know, here is a chance now to bring some of these guys along a little bit with more veteran presence, you know, not only in the receiving corps, but in the locker room, guy that's been there, done that.
Well, the thing is, you can bring them along when it comes to playing time and snaps and things like that. You can bring them along a little slower, more gradual, when you,
yeah,
have a guy like Branch that can take some of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, he can, you know, he can definitely do that. I think he will contribute. I don't know to what extent. So again, that's why, you know, the jury is going to remain out.
I'm not saying that I'm disappointed by any stretch.
No, I'm not either.
What Brandon Tate's done, but the thought of him as being kind of my, like, 75% of the snaps,
right,
you know, outside receiver is kind of scary at,
yeah,
this point.
Yeah, I don't know that you want to put that much on somebody, you know, that quickly. So, at any rate, Deion's back. By the way, as we mentioned, he's going to wear number 84.
Yep.
His old jersey, 83, is being worn by Wes Welker.
Made a little joke about that, too.
Yeah, a little bit. By the way, in case you're wondering, 84 is in the past for the Patriots.
Benjamin Watson.
Well, he actually wasn't the most recent.
No.
Torrey Holt actually wore 84 for his brief stay here. Before that, Benjamin Watson, who did it from 2004 to 2009. So he held the jersey for actually quite a while.
Sean Jefferson.
Fred Baxter in 03. Fred Coleman in 01, 02. Torrence Small. Shockmane Davis. There's a name from the past, 2000.
What number was Sean Jefferson then?
He was 84. 96 through 99.
I was doubting myself.
Yep, Sean Jefferson. Ronnie Harris. Daryl Stingley.
Now you're before I was born.
Daryl Stingley back in the 70s was 84.
That was an unfortunate event. I've seen tape of that, obviously.
Longtime Patriots fans certainly know that, he was probably the single most famous 84 to wear a Patriots jersey, Daryl Stingley. So, anyway, just a little history for you there in terms of number 84, which is what Deion will be wearing this Sunday when he takes the field against the Baltimore Ravens. Speaking of the Ravens, coming up tomorrow in the playbook, I'll go ahead and preview this now. We'll mention this again a little bit later on.
He's teasing.
Oh, you like this? This is what is known as a broadcast tease in the business. Jerry Sandusky, who's the radio play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Ravens, he's going to join us in the second hour of the program tomorrow. In the opening hour, Michael Lombardi, who's an analyst for NFL Network. He has an interview scheduled with Tom Brady for this Sunday on NFL game day morning. So if you're watching NFL Network coming up this Sunday, Michael Lombardi will have a sit-down one-on-one.
That'll be worth tuning
with in. Tom Brady, and he is who we're going to have here on the program in hour number one tomorrow. Last week, Lombardi had a one-on-one interview with Coach Belichick to talk about the Moss trade. So he's the guy that gets the one-on-ones with the network owned and operated, or the NFL owned and operated television network.
Yep.
And
NFL community, this is what we'd call an A-lister.
Yes, he would be an A-lister. He I guess you probably have to put Jason LaCanfora in there, and probably who else would be considered an A-list analyst over there on NFL Network? Who's the guy that does? His name escapes me now. Guy that does the Notre Dame games now. Mike Mayock, thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, Mike Mayock is another guy that is well thought of around NFL Network circles. But anyway, Michael Lombardi will join us inside the playbook tomorrow along with Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. And then on Thursday's playbook, former Ravens coach Brian Billick will join us here on the program.
Who's also doing some work for NFL
Network. NFL Network, yeah. In fact, he's an analyst. He's an analyst on the show that's called Playbook.
And he's an analyst on Fox, too.
Yes, he does. He does Fox work. He does game work. He's one of the broadcast teams for Fox.
So we have the TV playbook version of
you
on the radio version.
On the radio version.
That's impressive.
Right. Yeah, so there you go. So anyway, Brian Billick will be here on Thursday as well. So you got along with our normal Thursday's guest, Russell Baxter from ESPN. So we're stacked. We're loaded. We're pumped and jacked for the remainder of the week here in the playbook as
we're
getting ready for the Ravens.
Form here on the playbook.
Well, it's because it's midseason. Doesn't seem like it. I know it's week six, but I mean, you know, technically when you throw the preseason into it, we're kind of there already. The main thing is now, as we kind of get into this stretch, and I'm actually kind of glad you brought that up, because as we get into this tough three games, there's no other way to put it. This three game stretch is just like, you know, you got Baltimore, you got at San Diego, and you got Minnesota. I don't know how tough Minnesota's looking now, because Minnesota's off to a 1-3 start.
Yeah.
But,
I still worry about that game.
Well, I worry about that game, too, because I still think, you know, Randy Moss is going to have a chip on his shoulder, and I think, you know, Brett Favre will be ready to take advantage of it. And, you know, unless we can see some more improvement out of the Patriots' defense, that's liable to be an offensive shootout if there ever was one.
There's some guy named Adrian Peterson who runs the ball for them, too.
Yeah. He's just he's a bit of a physical freak at that position. There's no question about it. I personally think he's the best running back in the NFL right now, with all due respect to a guy like Arian Foster at Houston, and obviously Chris Johnson at Tennessee, who I think, you know, have been, obviously Johnson was last year, Foster's had an unbelievable start to this year, but for my money, if I had to pick a running back, you know, to build my football team around, I'm gonna take Peterson. Pains me to say that, Strippers, because he's an OU guy, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. Got to give the guy credit. But this is the time of year, though, when you really start magnifying things, and you've got this unbelievable gauntlet you're getting ready to run through over the next 3 weeks. The Patriots are 3-1 going into this gauntlet, so they're probably already at least a game better off than most of us figured they would be. So maybe you're playing a little bit with house money. Maybe. But maybe also, a little bit.
But also, I think the Jets are further along at 4-1 than I thought they would be.
Well, there's no question to me that the Jets are further along. The Jets right now, as I mentioned in the opening hour with Eric Scalavino, the Jets to me are the top team in the NFL right now. They deserve to be. They're there. Where are the Patriots better than they are outside of quarterback?
Yeah.
Where are the Patriots better than the Jets? And the answer to that is, I don't think they are.
But talking strictly record-wise, I figured the Jets would be 3-2 at this point, to be honest, when I looked at their schedule. They're further along. They're ahead of expectations in my book.
Right. I don't disagree with that. But other than quarterback, I don't think the Patriots are better than the Jets in any of the personnel groupings.
And even looking at quarterback, I hate to admit it, but Sanchez is kind of figuring it out.
He's played better.
Yeah.
You know, he was just putrid.
Yeah.
Putrid in the first week. Since then, though,
he's got one turnover in the year.
Yeah, he's like a different guy.
And that's the key with that defense. I mean, just don't turn the ball over. He's one of those guys that can manage the game and not lose it, and you can get away with that.
And I really thought that they would miss Chris Jenkins, and they haven't missed him hardly at all. And I think that's a credit to the Jets, and I think that shows you that good teams do find a way to overcome adversity. So, you know, while, you know, people say, well, injuries aren't an excuse. Well, they are. They're not an excuse, but they are a legitimate reason for actions. But good teams, championship caliber teams, have enough depth on their roster to where they overcome this. This was the trademark of the Patriots teams earlier in the 2000s that won Super Bowls. The Patriots had depth. We all know this. They might not have had the overwhelming superstars, save but for, you know, three or four guys, but they had depth, quality depth, and that's what helped the Patriots win championships and stay as competitive as they did for a long period, extended period of time. And the Jets are working that direction. Maybe they've taken a page out of the Patriots playbook. Maybe they have. I think you have to kind of hand it to them. The Patriots are trying to stay there. We had this conversation the last couple of weeks with Russell Baxter of ESPN. You know, he still thinks the Patriots are in the middle or in the midst of, at some point, their dynasty, their dynastic run, because they haven't had a come-back-to-earth season yet. And by come-back-to-earth, you're talking about like a 7-9, 6-10, 5-11 stinker where the wheels come flying off and it's time to rebuild. And it's true, the Patriots have not yet had that. They've been able to win, you know, 10 games plus. They've been able to stay competitive. They've been able to win the division. They've been able to get into the playoffs. Even, you know, and I'm throwing in 2 years ago as an anomaly, they won 11 games even though they did not get into the playoffs the year that Brady was out. They still won 11 games. So you'd have to say, largely speaking, they were still pretty much competitive in the overall scheme of things. But this time of year, the mid-season stripe, as we're, you know, approaching, not only in the schedule, but certainly on the calendar, you got this tough stretch of games. You got to find some way to stay healthy. And if you're not fortunate enough to stay healthy, this is where, you know, your personnel moves. This is where you're practicing. This is where you're training. This is where your off-season OTAs. This is where everything comes to play. This is where you truly bring in the facts surrounding the building of a franchise. This is where, you know, your scouting, your networking, this is where the homework pays off, because you're going to lose somebody somewhere to injury. The Patriots did, you know, as a result of signing Deion Branch today, they did officially put Nick Kazier on the IR. So he's gone for the year. Whether or not this means the Patriots now will try to make a move a little bit more so to, you know, doing something about Logan Mankins that remains to be seen. Although I will tell you that last week when they traded away Randy Moss, they did re-sign Quinn Ojanaka to take his roster spot at the time. And rather than dump him again, they just put Kazier on the IR. So Ojanaka is still a part of it. I don't know that will hasten, you know, departure of Mankins or not. I really don't know. I tend to think no, that it probably won't happen. That at this stage of the game, unless somebody comes after the Patriots asking specifically for Mankins, that the Patriots will probably be willing to just kind of stand pat, pardon the pun, and see if he shows up. See if he shows up in Week 10. Let's just see if he shows up Week 10, because he has to show up by Week 10 in order to, you know, gain this year of credit. and have it count toward, you know, his impending free agency at some point.
Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall if he walked through the door in week 10?
Well, I have to admit, that would be interesting to see.
Imagine being in the locker room that morning he walked in.
Based on everything that I've heard, and I don't know, I really honestly, I'm just sort of talking off the cuff here, I really don't know whether or not what I've heard is truth or fiction, but based on, you know, some of the talk that I've heard about the contract that was actually floated out to him, which would have made him, I think, the second highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL, behind Jari Evans. He wanted a contract that was on par with Jari Evans's.
Straight cash, homie.
And he was not able to get that, but he certainly was very, very close to it. I'm like, you know, that may be one of the single stupidest things that I've seen a professional football player do. I mean, pride and principle are one thing. But, you know, I just... Man's principle must be worth a lot of money is all I can tell you. A lot of money. That's probably another conversation for another day. But Deion Branch is back. Here's a little bit of the background on Deion, just in case, before we get back to the emails here. And by the way, webradio at patriots.com, if you'd like to jump in with your 2 cents worth on Deion Branch officially returning as a member of the New England Patriots. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, or get us on Facebook here. Branch, originally selected by the Patriots, the 65th overall pick, second round of the 02 draft out of Louisville. 53 games, 43 starts for the Patriots from 2002 through 2005. Caught 213 passes for 2,744 yards, 14 touchdowns in 4 seasons. I thought it was more than that, but that was it, 14 touchdown grabs in 4 years.
Because of what he did in the playoffs, people have that illusion.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Especially in the Super Bowl.
Well, 8 career playoff games with the Patriots, 41 catches, 629 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Now, that's a playoff. That's a playoff mark.
That's like a season right there.
That is a season. He totaled 21 receptions in 2 Super Bowl wins. So, obviously, he came up big in the biggest stage on earth as far as the NFL is concerned. Of course, both of those wins for the Patriots. He had 10 receptions, team high.
A lot of yards, too.
143 yards and a touchdown in the 32-29 win over Carolina. He was the Super Bowl MVP after tying a Super Bowl record with 11 receptions for 133 yards in the 24-21 win over Philadelphia.
I'll tell you what, he played in 8 playoff games. The Patriots won 7 of those.
Yeah.
He had a big hand in all of them.
Sure.
And the one they lost was that Denver game with Benjamin Watson and Champ Bailey. And I tell you, if you look up the numbers in that game, I think he had 9 or 10 catches for over 100 yards in that game, too.
This is his 9th NFL season, 104 games total, 83 starts in this his 9th year. He has 403 career catches. He's just shy of 5,100 career yards, 29 career touchdowns, 11 career postseason games with 10 career postseason starts. He started this year, by the way, in 3 of the 4 games for Seattle. 13 passes caught, 112 yards, 1 touchdown. So there are Deion Branch's numbers, just in case you needed some updating as to Mr. Branch and what he's bringing to the table at this point in time. All right, let's get a final timeout in here, and then we'll get back to some emails, and then we will continue along with the story that is the New England Patriots getting set for the Baltimore Ravens. We'll look into some of that as well right here inside the playbook.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Who will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Oh, you got an announcer boy to get some new stuff in, didn't you, huh? That's nice. Song's kind of gay, though.
The lyrics say, call me.
Oh, okay. All right.
It is kind of what makes it funny, though, right?
I'd like to. Yeah, that's true.
I think that's, I don't know. It's kind of gay.
What happened to Call Me by Blondie? That'd be a good one, right?
Back to your original statement.
yeah, but at least, yeah, but that's at least, you know, a little bit more my vintage back in the 1980s, I suppose. 70s, whatever it was. Oh, they all run together this day and age. All right, back to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Our friend Howard in Stratford, Connecticut says, John, can't take credit for this. I read it on PatsFan.com, but I'll repeat it here. He says, Patriots drafted Deion Branch in the second round. He helped them win two Super Bowls and became one's MVP. They traded Branch for a first-round pick, giving them two. That first-round pick turned into Brandon Merriweather, who's a Pro Bowl safety. Second first-round pick was traded to the 49ers for a first- and fourth-round pick the next year. See if you can keep up with this at home. That first-rounder became Jerod Mayo, who's Defensive Rookie of the Year. That fourth-round pick turned into Randy Moss when they traded with the Raiders. Randy got them to a Super Bowl and helped break huge records, of course, including the 16-0. They trade Moss for a third-round pick, getting back more value. Received for fourth, traded for third. They trade Lawrence Maroney for a fourth-round pick, which they then used to pick up Deion Branch, which is basically like trading Maroney a bust for Deion Branch. So basically, they turned Deion Branch into Moss, Merriweather, and Mayo. And now they have Branch back, plus a new third-round pick. All right, you know what? That's actually, you can follow along, keep up with it all. When I opened the show today, I said, okay, in effect, the Patriots, in getting Branch, gave up Moss, a seventh, and a fourth. And then on paper, it looked like it was a bit much. But when you spin it this way, you have Deion Branch, they traded him away the first time, getting Moss, Merriweather, Mayo, and now Branch back. Depends on how you look at it, doesn't it? From that angle, it certainly looks a heck of a lot better than it did earlier today. it also looks to be a significant piece of the building block of the foundation, or part of the foundation, for this Patriots team. In that regard, then you'd have to say, okay, well, you know what? That's a pretty good move. I guess it really depends on your perspective here, because you can spin this either way, and you would not be incorrect. Howard says, my opinion on the trade. I think it is the best move they could have made to shore up the wide receiver position with a vet who knows the scheme, needs to relearn the terminology, and obviously he said that just a short while ago, and can help develop the young wide receivers. Not to mention, the branch is a Brady favorite, and those two were on the same wavelength when it came to reading the D and making adjustments. Is he worth a fourth-round pick? In my honest opinion, yes, because he can help the O, the position, and the team right now. Well, if you sit on that fourth-round pick, it does you no good until next year, and even then it's a question mark depending upon the player chosen. Time will tell if this was a good move or not, but first blush, I think it makes the team better than it was without him, just as trading Moss made the team worse because he was gone. I'll agree with that, Howard. I do think the Patriots are a little better with Deion Branch than they were without him. I'll agree with that. Howard says, does it mean they are as good as with Branch as they were with Moss? Well, in some ways, yes. In some ways, no. Branch is not of the Moss caliber talent-wise, but what he brings in leadership and being a part of the team and understanding his role is far better than Moss. Does this mean it's a push? I don't know, but I do know they are better with Branch than without him. Howard, I think that's actually a pretty good email, and it kind of sums up my sentiments for the most part. They are better with Deion than without him. I'm not sure that on the surface I liked what they gave up for him, but when you go back into the annals, you go back into the archives, and you realize what you got in return when you traded Deion away the first time back in 2005, and what you used those draft picks you received in return as building blocks for, picking up guys like Merriweather and Mayo and eventually Randy Moss, you'd have to say that the franchise overall is better for you having made that move than not having made it and not having that quote-unquote contract dispute with Branch back in 05. It happened. Things happened. He suggested as much. Bill Belichick has even suggested as much. You know, nothing personal. It's just, you know, contract things sometimes get in the way, and sometimes, you know, money stinks. So in that regard, just kind of what goes around comes around, I suppose. Good email, Howard. All right, here we go. Alex from Georgia. Hey, John, just wanted to chime in and say that I like the move for Branch, although this won't even come close to replacing Moss on the field. I think this is a good move. Deion can pretty much play any of the receiver positions, and he might not draw the double team like Moss did. I think this will help getting someone open. I, for one, have not given hope up on the Patriots. I still think that they can make some noise in the East and will be cheering for them every game. And for all the fans jumping ship over the trade for Moss, I say good riddance, and you weren't true fans from the get-go. I can't listen live, so this might have been addressed already, but is the lack of playing time for Taylor Price just because he's still learning the system? I think in large part, Alex, yes, he's still learning the system. Fact remains is that while he was a low-round pick, I don't think that they want to throw too much at his on his plate, at least initially. I don't think they want to throw him to the wolves. I think they want to make sure that he's mentally as well as physically equipped when he does get out there. And certainly, I believe bringing another element into the wide receiver core like Deion Branch can only help the younger guys. And earlier today in the locker room, a guy like Julian Edelman also said as much. So it's all good when you can get another veteran presence and a guy that's, you know, won a couple of rings, too, you know, to get back into the mix. Alex says, anyways, got a puppy the other day and decided to name him Gronk. Used to have a dog called Brewski, and I have a cat called Brady. So now he's got a puppy called Gronk. Nice. So on that note, bring on the Ravens and let's get some revenge. Go Pats. By the way, I'm not sure. I know that fans look at it this way. Privately, some of the players might look at it this way, but you won't find anybody publicly saying this is revenge for last year's playoff disaster. Nobody. I mean, first of all, that was last year. It's a different team this year. It's a different Ravens team this year, although you might be hard-pressed to actually find that out. But you won't hear. We probably won't talk about it so much as revenge. There will be a little underlying, I think, theme to all of the preparations this week and such, simply because it was just a shocking result last January. It was just shocking. Nobody expected the Patriots to lose the way they did, 33-14. Nobody.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
We all kind of felt like that. And the way that they, you know, had gotten down 24-0 right out of the gate in the first quarter of that game to basically render the last three quarters almost meaningless, and being a playoff game, it was just almost a surreal place to be, because it was a place the Patriots just weren't familiar with at all. So I think because of the way that game came about, that you'll probably find some of the veterans in the Patriots locker room that were on this field last January for that debacle, you'll probably find some of them at least privately saying, I'm not going to let this so-and-so beat me on this play. Or, you know, there might be a little extra oomph, might be a little extra effort where you need it, where you hope you might get it. But that was last year, and, you know, this is this year. And the Ravens are formidable enough and will be formidable enough without having to have incentive or revenge on their minds because of the pasting they took last January. I believe this year more than anything that to be the case when it comes to a quote-unquote revenge game. Frankly, if the Patriots can keep Ray Rice from going 83 yards on his first touch of the game, they'll be ahead of the game, because that's what happened last January. What are the odds you think that Joe Flacco will hand off to Ray Rice in the first play of the game again? What do you think?
Pretty good.
I think they'd be very strong.
If you remember, Flacco in that game was like 4-for-11 for 20-something
yards.
Yeah,
he was horrible. But
which made the beatdown even worse.
Right, right. It's because the Patriots just got pounded.
Yeah. Ray Rice had a little bump on his knee 3 weeks ago now. Was sparingly used this past week. And then this Sunday, he had
over 100 yards.
So he's back.
Oh,
so
he's back.
Healthy.
He's back. He's about as healthy as he's going to be.
Which is not good for,
no,
for the Patriots.
The Patriots will have, and we'll get into some more of the X's and O's starting tomorrow, but Patriots will have their hands full with that Ravens line and, you know, the Ravens power running game. And Ray Rice is, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, is built low to the ground. He can kind of get in behind some of those bigger, taller linemen. But not only does he have good speed and balance, but he's got tremendously strong legs,
yeah,
and leg drive. And here's a guy that just does not quit. So when you think you have him down, you've got to make sure that you mash him into the turf. Otherwise, he's going to bounce back up.
He's a huge weapon receiving-wise out of the backfield, too. He's had
a
lot of – Flacco likes that little intermediate dump down to him quite a bit. It's like a safety blanket.
Rice and his presence worry me more than anything about Baltimore this week.
And let's not forget, McGahee's not too shabby as a backup there.
Well, yeah, and McGahee usually is money, you know, when it comes to goal-to-go situations and red zone situations as well. So, you know, Baltimore has plenty in the tank, and the Patriots, I think, are going to find it, you know, a difficult going. Andrew writes, Andy from Ireland, love the show. A lot of people seem to be saying that Branch dipped and was unproductive in Seattle, which, according to the members, to the numbers, rather, is not true. Branch's numbers in his time in New England and Seattle were almost identical. In New England, he caught 213 passes, 2744, 14 touchdowns, 54. Seattle, 190 passes, 2347, 15 touchdowns in 51 games. One more touchdown, about 300 less yards, and about 23 fewer passes in three less games. Considering Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Matt Hasselbeck, this is hardly what I would call unproductive and suffering from a dip in form. I love the Branch trade. While Randy was a great player, the number of interceptions Brady was throwing while trying to force the ball to Moss to keep him happy was increasing. There is a point to that, by the way. Brady's quarterback rating was higher to every other receiver on the roster other than Randy Moss, whose name was not Randy Moss. His quarterback rating to Randy was in the 70s, I believe. I remember reading this somewhere. And I apologize because this was an original thought by me. I saw this somewhere earlier today when I was researching. His quarterback rating to Moss was in the 70s because he was less than 50% completion percentage when passes were thrown Moss's direction. everybody else on the roster, with the exception of, wow, I want to say with the exception of one other, and I believe it was Welker, believe it or not, had a quarterback rating, or gave Brady a quarterback rating of over 100. Welker was like a 90-something. So, at any rate, just food for thought here. I do think that there might be something to that, where Brady was trying to force a few in there or throw Randy's way a few times just to keep everybody happy. He says, Branch, smart receiver, good knowledge of the system. Also, from a leadership standpoint, I think Branch and Welker will provide a great example from Tate, Price, Edelman, Gronkowski, and Hernandez. Okay, Andy, good stuff. All right, John, how about people having a call or writing in with their best Brett Favre joke? Here's mine. Well, it's 4th and just 2 inches here in Minnesota, and the refs are calling for a measure. Brett, can you whip it out and give us a measure? Or Brett, can I borrow your phone? Oh, thanks for that, Jack. Appreciate that. By the way, Chris sends this in on the heels of this one. Literally, it came in moments after. He says, seriously, guys, I'm fed up. Brett Favre must quit while falling behind. The only reason, single only reason the Vikings lost to the Jets is Favre and his turnovers. Favre is the all-time TD champ, all-time yardage champ, all-time passing completion champ. But last night he surpassed Warren Moon in another less glamorous category. Fumbles! He's the turnover king. 13 points on turnovers by His Royal Highness Brett Favre. Fumbles a snap? Come on, that's inexcusable. Fumble the handoff in a critical matchup? Unfathomable. Football 101 equals ball security. Worst part is, in true Favre form, game on the line, he throws a pick six. All you had to do is, wait for it, get into field goal range. I hope you enjoy the poster boy, illicit photo boy, captain turnover, because when Favre gets suspended for the New England game, Moss is going to flip and quit on you. Brett, go hang your cleats, start baking apple turnovers. At least those turnovers the team can do something positive with. P.S. Moss, I feel badly for you, buddy. You made your bed. Enjoy being on the senior citizen team. I wonder if they had to install ramps for Brett. He says, thanks for putting up with the rant. I actually enjoyed that rant. That was a good rant. Christopher, thank you for sending. Very good rant. Where did we have? Oh, I think I had another. Yeah, we had another Facebook post here. Says, Scott, I like the move, adding Deion Branch. It adds another leader to a young locker room. It will pay off in the long run. Seems to be the kind of way that we're sort of progressing, at least in this last part of the program today. More and more people, after listening to Deion earlier here in his press conference, are warming up to the idea that he's going to provide that veteran presence, that leadership, if you will, to the younger guys, not only in the wide receiver core, but as we all know, as this roster turns over, you need more and more veteran presence in the locker room, and I think that's something this team can use. By the way, speaking to that, friend of mine actually tweeted this to me earlier today. He says, through 4 games, the Patriots have scored 17 touchdowns this season. 11 of those 17 touchdowns have been scored by Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Danny Woodhead, Brandon Tate, Rob Gronkowski, Kyle Arrington, Gary Guyton, and Patrick Chung. Why is that significant? And he says, in addition to these guys not being household names, each of these 7 players is entering his 3rd year in the NFL or less. Very quietly, the Patriots, with Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and yes, Randy Moss, have become one of the youngest teams in the league, and they are scoring an average of 33 points per game. Heads up. It's actually a pretty good comment, I thought. What it does is it just sort of underscores that the Patriots that are involved now and are beginning to make plays, while we're kind of grousing about the fact that, you know, it's not perfect and it's not like it used to be around here back in the good old days when we were winning Super Bowls back in 03 and 04. What it is meaning is that some of this young talent, and again, not all the draft picks we know, not all the draft picks have come to fruition. We know this. We've documented it here. We've talked about it on this program. Some of it is beginning to mature, some of it is starting to make plays, and some of it, well, hey, 11 of the 17 touchdowns scored this year, you'd have to say that's the majority of it, are becoming significant factors on the field. So if you look at it from a positive point of view, you could certainly say, well, adding another veteran presence to this particular mix is nothing but good, because you're only missing just a little something. You're only missing a little something. Maybe a guy like Branch, who's willing to fulfill his role, who's willing to be a team player, who's willing to do whatever it takes. He's not gonna, you know, whine and moan about, you know, not having the ball thrown to him or not being a part of the offensive game plan. He's gonna do what it takes. Maybe that kind of an attitude is something that the locker room, that the wide receiver core needs at this time. Maybe that was just, maybe that was part of the thought process. You never know. That went into trying to, you know, bring him in. We have some Brett Favre exclusive audio right here inside the playbook. Oh, well, by all means, Kevin, go.
May, them are some tight pants you got on. I'm going to wear those for you. That's a thing of beauty.
No more rocket balls, please.
Base, base, balls, ball.
Right.
Balls feel good. That ball there has silicone on it or something. My head's getting bigger. These hats are getting smaller.
You thought I was taller than this, huh?
Take it easy over now. I'm getting old. Good thing I'm in shape.
I'll be so sore tomorrow.
Oh, somebody's slapping me on the butt. I love you, man.
Nice. I'm not sure what to say after that, so I think I'll just say, hi, Pete.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm all right.
As a very disturbed little boy.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, this has been one whacked
never
out
ends,
show today.
Never ends.
One whacked out show today. I've gone off on about 18.
But incredibly, now the Deadspin editor says that it may or may not be Favre. Third party may have been involved. Who the hell knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? It's
first just, of all, you can't believe everything you see on the internet. I don't care if it's Deadspin
or not.
No.
Really?
I mean, I realize that's a shock to most
people.
Come
on.
Well, hey, you know, except for right here on Patriots.com.
Oh, of course. Everything
this you can believe.
This is reality, baby.
That's exactly right. So, reality speaking, yes or no, yay or nay on Deion coming back?
Oh, I think you got to be happy with it. I mean, how could you not be? I think, you know, he's going to fit right in. Hopefully, again, we just talked about the veteran leadership is huge, and he can only help. I mean, nobody's going to be able to place from a talent standpoint, Randy Moss. We all know that. But Deion Branch certainly is going to help and mix it. It's just another weapon for Tom Brady. Takes a lot of pressure off some of the other guys. Hopefully he'll stay healthy.
Well, that's my major concern, and that's why I said in the early part of the show today, I said, look, I'm not anti-Deion. I think it's great, but let's just wait and see if he can stay healthy before we say anoint this as, the smartest move since, you know, we learned how to slice bread. He did have injury problems in Seattle, kept him from being the kind of receiver that Seattle thought they were getting when they gave up a number one
to
get him.
That's right.
So if he can stay healthy, fine, I'll give it to you. If he can provide some leadership to the younger guys, fine. Fantastic even, all right? If he can, you know, catch a few balls, if he can help this team get into the playoffs, okay, then I'm willing to get right in line with you on that one. But let's give him a little while. Let's see if he can stay healthy and do that because he is 5 years older.
Yeah, he is 5 years older. But and again, health is going to be the big issue. We don't know. But I think initially, hopefully right off the bat here, it's going to help. And Bill Belichick, 8-2 coming off a bye week as a coach, hasn't lost since 2002. I think having that extra week to prepare for what many are saying right now is the best team in football, although I tend to disagree with that.
I think the Jets right now are the best team in football.
The Jets may be playing the best overall, but certainly they had their struggles on offense last night. I don't know if there is such a team. I don't know if there is a best team out there.
Well,
there's a lot of really good teams.
Jets and Ravens would have
I don't think there's
be...
one great team.
No, you're right. There's none.
And the Ravens struggle against Cleveland. They should have lost that game.
Probably.
They lost against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Flacco was still pretty inconsistent, although he looked very good. He looked better against Dallas. The whole team looked very good against
Denver.
What
does this say, though? If the Jets and Ravens are two of the teams that are at the top right now, frankly, it tells me it could be a wide-open race.
It is a wide-open race.
It could be
race.
Anybody's game, and we're just week six.
What I thought was absolutely pathetic, I don't know if you felt it that way, is why in the hell were the Kansas City Chiefs already being compared with the 72 Dolphins of last week on ESPN? They already started with that crap. I mean, 3-0? Are you kidding me? We knew
somebody
the Broncos last year at 6-0 weren't going to make the playoffs. Most of us didn't know anything about the game.
Somebody has way too much time in their hands.
It is ridiculous.
And it's because they were the last.
Ridiculous.
It's because, Pete, they were the last undefeated team.
3-0?
But 3-0, that's stupid.
Means nothing.
I know, that's stupid.
Means nothing.
It's
but
so ridiculous.
It is.
Thanks,
Coach.
Thanks,
it is. Yeah. So today I'm looking forward to getting the fans' impact, obviously, from all the emails and phone calls and see what they think about Deion Branch. We'll play a couple more snippets from the press conference. I know you played it earlier today, so there's some good stuff there. And we have a guest, too, coming up. Michael Silver from Yahoo Sports, an NFL columnist, is going to join us. And maybe another surprise guest, possibly.
Ooh, really?
We'll
really?
Kind of surprise, yeah. Surprise.
Brady going to call in?
Possibly.
Okay. Nice.
And I'm going to reveal, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to break some news here by myself. Okay. Before it gets out there on Deadspin and TMZ and the E! True Hollywood Story, because I have been contacted today, I texted some belly button lint, and I did forward it to Vince Wilfork, and I wanted to get that out there and get it out of the way
so
people know what I'm all about.
Okay.
It was a long time ago. It was a long time ago when Vince was a rookie, but I wanted to say that now, here and now, clear the air so we could, you know.
I'm glad you cleared the air for everybody on that
pass.
One.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm out of my mind. So you play poker for like 25 hours straight.
I know. I was about to say, you did well this last week.
I did well. 11 straight final tables.
Nice.
Yeah, very good, yeah. Big event at Foxwoods this week. But
nice. Outstanding. Yeah, are you going to get down for it?
I'm going down tomorrow playing a big event down there.
Congrats.
Yep. Yeah.
What's it like being a pro poker player?
It's a grind, but I love it. I mean, I love it as much as I love doing talking about sports. I really do. You have to have a lot of patience. It's like sports in a lot of ways. It's a lot of interesting characters, a lot of flamboyant characters, a lot of divas. A lot of emotion.
I believe.
A lot of people who are like Belichick. A lot of people
who
are like
everybody
Moss.
Else but Pete.
I'm actually very calm, believe it or not. But it's a lot of fun. I love it. I enjoy playing. I have a real passion for it, as I do talking about sports and Patriots. So we're going to have a great show today, and I can't wait. I can't wait to get all the fans' reaction. This is going to be a great game this weekend. I'm really looking. This is going to be the top game on the slate, I think.
I hope you're right about that, and I just hope the Patriots can make it, you know, one of the top games on the slate, because the last time the Ravens were here, it was a spanking.
Yes, it was. It was disgusting from the opening kickoff, and you just knew that whether it was Wes Welker deflated them with that, you know, because the injury the week before against Miami or whatever, they just, for the first time in a long time, a Belichick coach team just was not. They were just out of it. They were out of it from the get-go.
All right. Coming up, Pete Shepard Show, right here on Patriots.com Radio. I will leave it with Mary Beth, who sends this via Facebook. She says, every time we need to rebuild, I think the Pats are doing just that in a very thought-out way. Yes, we do still need some veteran leaders and talent, but I do think Deion Branch can provide that. Team, not time. Okay. Every team needs to rebuild, and I think the Pats are doing just that in a very thought-out way. Mary Beth, I think that's probably a good enough sentiment for right now. Thanks for staying tuned today. We heard from Deion Branch, obviously, live during his press conference earlier this afternoon. Stay tuned for tomorrow's playbook. Stands to be outstanding. Michael Lombardi, NFL Network, will join us. And Jerry Sandusky, the voice of the Baltimore Ravens. In the playbook, same Pats time, same Pats channel. Manana.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.